Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack Fritz, I have one question to ask you just to start off from the top, and you can hear it in the yo. Nothing against anything like normal, just the fact that why do we have the dumbest sport in the world that is our favorite sport? Why can't they figure anything out? They get the freaking labor stuff wrong. They get the Hall of Fame voting wrong. Nothing makes sense, Jack. Hey, buddy. Hey, Tim.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it? It's
I'm so annoyed today, Jack.
It's just like
you're getting annoyed seltzer today.
Yeah, I can tell. And I'm there with you. You know, like I just wish they were normal. And, like, you know what sucks, man, is that – and listen, I think they're going to figure it out. I don't think we're going to miss games. But
you're so optimistic.
Yeah.
Like, just for reference sake, before you make your point, Jack, we were talking about doing the pod today yesterday, and Jack's like, well, you know, you never know. We could get good news and be back to talking baseball soon. And I'm like, Jack, like, come on, man. You're so optimistic.
Yeah, I know. And you know what the thing is, James? Is that, like, you see football over the weekend.
I know.
And it's like, 40 or 51 million people watched Chiefs, Bills, or whatever. And, like, everyone's, like, dude, like, everyone's show opens in, like, inside the sports radio world was like, wow, that game was crazy. Like, it wasn't anything.
And the weekend. And it was the whole weekend. It was like, that game was amazing. And, oh, yeah, we just saw a perfect weekend of football, and what a great sport, and they just know how to do it.
Oh, they make money hand over foot, and they don't have lockouts, and it's a good thing that baseball is a strong players union, and it's unfortunate that football doesn't, but, like, it's just, there's never...
it seems like it's worse for the
I know, but there's never problems with football. Yep. Like, you know, why does it have to be this one that's like... Yeah, no, everyone hates each other. No one gets along. We make insulting offers to life for, like, no reason either. Like, the freaking owners didn't have to make a $10 million, like, they didn't have to be, you know, bleeps about
insulting.
It.
Insulting?
Yeah.
Well, what were they? The players were asking for, like, $150, and they're like, we'll give you 10.
How's 10
it's
million?
Just like, it's like such a slap in the face. It's like, of course you guys hate each other. Like, what else would you expect?
I know. And it's just... Again, I don't trust
of people on the planet than baseball owners. You know how I feel, Jeff.
I just don't trust that. And my thing is, I don't trust that Manfred has the stones in a way to be able to handle this right now. Like, I just don't. I don't. And I know everyone likes piling on Manfred, and rightfully so. It's just, this is a massive thing. Like, this is a potential work stoppage for a sport that is already losing interest amongst, you know, it's core watchers and consumers. And I do think it's doing better with younger people. I would say most of that has to do with the High Hopes Podcast. I mean,
say the vast majority. I mean, nothing Manfred does.
Well, yeah, I mean, much. Like,
you're welcome, Rob.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you had a bit of momentum, I feel like, in a way, with the younger crowd kind of getting into baseball again. And I'm sure gambling's helping and fantasy and all that. And I just don't trust Manfred to be able to handle this moment. This is a massive moment for the sport. And I just don't think that they have any concept of baseball's in trouble if they don't figure this out. Now, I'm largely the belief, like, and I know, like, I might be the crazy one here, but I think people will come back no matter what. Like, I'll come back. I'll watch the Phillies whenever they play again.
Well, we know you will.
Right.
I don't think you're the one they're worried about, Jack.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to, think of everyone else. And I just.
If you're out, they should just shut this sport down.
Right.
It's officially done. Yeah.
Right. I mean, dude, I texted you this yesterday. Like, I was watching quarterback draft prospects.
I know.
Like, I want to watch Schwarber highlights.
It's so sad. It was honestly, it's like a top five saddest text I've ever gotten from you.
Yeah. And I mean, do you want to go through the other top five? We're big, big top five list people.
Else to talk about because our freaking sport isn't playing.
I know. And it's just, I wish there was someone in that room that I could trust. And I don't trust for it to be Rob Manfred. And probably rightfully so, because he's been pretty bad at every single turn. And the sheer importance of this decision and not making this look as bad as possible and trying, like, his job is supposed, he was a labor negotiation guy. That was
this is like his wheelhouse. That was like the whole point of him.
Honestly, this is why he was hired. I mean, we're talking about, there was always going to be a labor strike. This was always going to happen. He was hired specifically for this moment. And I just can't trust that guy to get it right.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust him to get my coffee, man. Like, especially with, like, just within the last year, just within 1 year, Jack, we've already seen him, I guess you could say 1.5 years. Let's go to the pandemic. Like, within, you know, 2 years, 1.5 years, whatever you want to call it, we have seen him disastrously handle getting back on the field after or during a pandemic. Like, that whole, you know, could have had the, as we talked about so many times, could have dominated the sports world, could have been a beacon of hope in America, the first sport to come back, all this stuff, baseball, the American pastime. It was such a moment that they had the opportunity to do. And they got back the same freaking week as basketball and hockey. Like, it was such a travesty the way he handled that. And then obviously the whole Astros thing, like, prior to that, like, it just, thing after thing after thing after thing, this guy has done a horrendous job handling. I mean, again, back to the, it's just a hunk of metal. Like, it's like everything this guy does is wrong. And to your point, Jack, I mean, like, this is why he was hired. He was hired for this moment right now. And the fact that, like, no, oh yeah, they're starting to meet, that's good and stuff. What the hell have they been doing for the last 6 weeks? Like, what were we doing here? Like, there wasn't even a meeting. And then they come back in the first meeting, they're wildly far apart. And the next one, they're getting closer, but still far apart. And the next one, they're still far apart to the point where you said, where the players are asking for $150 million in this pool of money, the bonus pool thing. And they offer 10. Like, that is like a slap in the face. It is. And again, for a group of owners who the only billionaires on the planet who can cry poor, the only billionaires on the planet who can tell us how poor they are all the time. Like, and that these guys, like, are still pinching every penny with these players, the minor league players, like, the disaster that's been in their living situations, all that for years, like, all these things, like, that are just, it's, we don't curse on this podcast, but it's bleeped up, Jack. It is bleeped up, the relationship here. And especially when you look at the fact that there are owners in this league, like, let's say Bob Nutting in Pittsburgh or any other ones you want to talk about, where Oakland, Tampa Bay, where they have a super smart front office and they make it work. But these people are making money on their teams and they are refusing to spend it. They're refusing to spend money and yet they're making money hand over fist. And the whole small market thing, like, you're rich enough to own a baseball team. Other clubs find ways to work around these things. Like, the whole system is so screwed up. And I blame the owners. Like, and look, everyone's at fault. We've talked about it before, the millionaires and billionaires fighting. But it's just, it's so frustrating to me that the owners just always want to get over on the players, always want to win these things, always want to dominate, instead of looking at the greater good of their thing, this thing that they own that we always talk about, millions of people love and support and spend their money on and spend their free time on and all that. And they don't give a crap about us. They don't give a crap about the fans. All they care about is making as much money as possible. And it's incredibly frustrating, Jack. Like, just figure this out and give us our freaking sport. Like, It's everyone's going to make money. You're all going to make money. You just have to get on the freaking field, man.
So, yeah, everything seems fine. And
It's great. Good. At least they got the Hall of Fame right.
Oh, so, yeah. Everything's fine there. Speaking of, before we get into that, you mentioned...
I could have just done an hour without you solo yelling about the Hall of Fame if I really wanted to. Like, that's
yeah,
how
but
angry I am just about that.
I just wonder how quickly people would turn that off of, like...
Very quickly.
No, it would
be a horrible listen.
But it would be cathartic for you, though. Like, you would be able
to...
Yeah,
it would be good. Yeah.
You were in that rant. I picked up on you saying we don't curse in this podcast. And I was listening to Go Birds over the weekend, or maybe last weekend, here on WIP. And I believe a caller was talking about the earmuffs thing.
And
it just made me realize, you know, Jack, you really got that one right. We don't have to do the earmuffs thing on this podcast. We're a family-friendly podcast. Like, really got that decision right. Is we don't have to deal with the earmuffs thing. You know?
It is funny. Whenever we meet, you know, the awesome Hyups people, like, inevitably someone will always be like, why don't you guys curse? And then I'll point them at Jack. So to those people, I'm here, and I appreciate you.
We do know how to curse, though. Like, if we, many people have asked, like, if for us to do a full cursing podcast.
Life, we definitely curse a lot more. Oh, that would actually be a really funny one. Like, if we went, we could do that, right? Where we go in and say, hey, don't listen to this with your kids. This one pod, we're going to curse a lot. That'd be really funny, actually. We should consider that. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we see this Phil's bullpen take the field again. I mean, it's been what?
So you're like 2023, 2024, we talking? Or
it doesn't matter the next. All right. If they go into the season with the idea that Corey Knebel can be their full-time closer, I will just be so woefully disappointed. And I know this is like for talk when they actually get back on the field and all that and you know, where they can make moves again, and hopefully this is all like a smokescreen. But like, the guy can never stay healthy. He's been a great closer once. It's a one-year deal. I mean, are they seriously coming into the season banking on Corey Knebel being like? I love Corey Knebel. He was a part of both of our perfect off seasons. I was signing him for the Neris role, not the closer role. So like, just if that's their thought process, I'm already frustrated with the season.
Yeah, I love how you just slipped Phillies talk right in. Like, you can't even help yourself. We're talking about labors, dragons, and that. You're like, by the way, Phillies thought.
Man, listen, it's a Phil's podcast.
Well, but you know what I mean? I know, but that's what frustrated me when you're talking and not your point, because I agree with you. But the idea that, like, we should be talking about that stuff, Jack. We should be talking about, oh, they signed Schwarber. Oh, why didn't they sign this guy? Or why did they make that trade? Or, oh, I love that trade. Instead, we can't talk about that, Jack.
Well, that's not true because they've never made a fun trade. I mean, like,
it's a really good point, Jack.
Even the JT trade, like, that was such an losing 6-0. It was like 6-0 for JT, basically. And it's like, oh, that makes sense for both teams. We get it. And whatnot. We can never have like a cool underrated trade, like an under the radar where I can just like, I just want to dive into someone's baseball savant page and see like, why did they make this move? I tried it last year with Chase Anderson and Matt Moore. It backfired, although Matt Moore did throw a no hitter for the Phillies. So you got to kind of factor that into this whole situation.
Good point.
I want a cool trade. I want a Mitch Keller trade. You know, I want something. Why can't they just give us something? I'm dying, James. Like, I know baseball's
right
not
now. They can't because they're locked.
I know,
Jack,
because the owners are locking the players out, and they act like it's a combined lockout. Isn't that the most insulting thing in the world? No, it's a baseball thing. No, it's not. It's not. It's an owner mandated lockout. It's not. Everything else is just disingenuous.
Yeah.
215-592-9494.
Hey! All right. You got anything else on the lockout? Because I don't want to talk about it anymore.
No. Why would I want to talk more about the lockout?
I don't know. Sometimes you got a weird lockout take out of nowhere on me. All right. Hall of Fame. Like, we don't have to go nuts. We don't have to, like, yell and scream. I think anyone who listens to this pod knows that we are incredibly disappointed that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens were not elected in the Hall of Fame, but Your thoughts on the whole thing, like, just, yeah, why not?
No, well, you know what's funny is that I don't get, like, for example, our good friend Jack Keffer, he texted me last night, very upset. And then he comes in today and he's like all downtrodden about like the bonds thing. And I said to him, like, well, why? Like, it's how it's been for 10 years. Like, it's always going to, they're not going to put him in the Hall of Fame. It's just not going to happen. And I just find it, like, the fact that his helmet is already in the Hall of Fame, you know, the MVP, Barry Bonds did stuff on a baseball field that we'll never see before or never see again. Like, even for as good as Juan Soto is, like, Bonds did that for 4 years.
No, it was light years.
What Juan Soto did in September. And I just...
That was better. Yeah, in September. Okay, good.
No, good. No. And it just... And I thought Big Poppy was a Hall of Famer. But, like, how can we sit here and tell me that Big Poppy, who I pretty, like, I think he admitted to it, and it was also indicted.
Well, yeah, it was definitely in that 03, you know, survey, the names weren't supposed to come out. The names came out. David Ortiz was gone through September.
Also,
he wasn't, you know,
right.
In trouble for it, but he was.
Allegedly, whatever. If we had to throw allegedly in there. But, like, I just don't, like,
I mean, also, let's say there was never anything. David Ortiz, like a whatever 260 hitter with the Twins, without a bunch of pop, comes to Boston, and all of a sudden he's huge, and it's 541 career home runs. I'm just saying.
That's the one where I was getting to, where it's like, obviously he did something. I mean, I don't think it's attributed to launch angle or whatever. Like he just use your eyes and use deductive reasoning, and I just don't get how you can look at it honestly and say, this guy didn't cheat as much as this guy, so we'll put him in. Like, Pudge Rodriguez, same thing. You know, and it's just...
Piazza, all these guys.
I just find it so stupid, and I just... It's again, they act like it's the most important thing in the world. It's a museum of baseball. You can't tell the story of baseball without Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And for me, like... My first, like, I loved Roger Clemens. I loved him. I mean, a horse, and I mean, 45 years old, like, figured out a split. Like, his splitter was still disgusting. He figured out a slider late in his career. Like, he's the definition of a horse. And, like, steroids or not, to be able to do what he was doing was insane. And it just, it's again, it's a museum of baseball. Put them in there. You can't tell a story of baseball without those guys.
Yeah. I mean, that in and of itself, that basic point is, you know, done. Conversation over. But, like, I mean, again, the fact that they elect David Ortiz, who has, and again, maybe not as much, or maybe not as, you know, extensive steroid allegations or whatever you want to call it against him, but to have Bonds and Clemens in their last year on the ballot and to not put those guys in and then put in someone who had steroid connections. Like, it's just like, it's, of course, it's like the hypocrisy at the highest level. It is so silly. It's because Ortiz is a nice guy and Bonds and Clemens were a-holes. That's it. They didn't like him. And these reporters and these people who've covered the game, like, there are guys voting for the Hall of Fame who haven't covered the game in a decade or more. Like, it's so messed up, this system that they have. And they screwed Bonds and Clemens by changing it from 15 years to 10. They would have gotten in if it had been 15 years. They clearly stacked the deck with that, too. Like, to your point, you're right. They were never going to put him in the Hall of Fame. They were never going to let those two guys in there. And it's a joke. It's just, like, I've already yelled. I freaked out on the air today. Like, I don't have much freak out in me left other than, like, I'm just kind of done with the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, this used to be one of my favorite debates, one of my favorite things to argue about, because it mattered so much. It mattered so much. This sport, it, like, the Hall of Fame felt like an actual Hall of Fame, like, real deal. Like, you gotta be the best of the best to get in here. And of course there's going to be exceptions. Like, Jim Rice got in and Andre Dawson got in and guys who were very good, but not that level. But for the most part, in its history, this hall did such a great job of acknowledging the right guys, the guys who deserve to be in there. And then, like, now for this moral high ground, this standard, when all those guys, you can go back, you want to go back to Ruth times and say he never played against a black player. How about that? How does that factor into the whole legacy of that? Like, all those guys didn't. The next era, the Greenies, which talk to any former player, they will tell you that Greenies are more impactful than Roids. Like, it is much harder to get up and go out and play baseball 162 out of 175 days or whatever it is without the Greenies, with that upper every day, getting you going. Like, that was many players think more impactful. And if nothing else, certainly impactful and against the rules and all that. Like, it's just this whole, like, oh, all of a sudden now we're gonna stand on our moral high ground and say that's wrong. And the pièce de résistance of the whole thing is that these are the people who looked the other way when it was happening. All these writers knew McGuire was taking steroids, knew Sosa was taking steroids, knew Bonds was taking steroids. They all knew, and every single one of them looked the other way. The league looked the other way. Bud Selig is sitting in the Hall of Fame for looking the other way because it was making the sport popular again. Like, it is just levels upon levels upon levels of hypocrisy, and the result of it is what you said, that we have a museum to preserve the history of the game, to tell the story of the game. And the best player I ever saw, the best player you ever saw, and the best player anyone our age ever saw, the all-time home run champ, isn't in there. Like, how dumb is that? Especially when you let the record stand. Why not take the home run champ away from him, right? Why is he the all-time home run champ if he can't get into the Hall of Fame? It's all so stupid.
Isn't it so baseball that the all-time home run king and the all-time hits leader?
And the all-time hits, yep.
It's not in the Hall of Fame.
It's like the most, like, it's so absurd, yeah.
Well, and it just brought me back to thinking again about, like, this weekend and how we're watching those games, and everyone's like, just like, wow, games are crazy. And then baseball happens, like, everyone's yelling about the Hall of Fame. Like, it can never just be about the actual stuff on the field, which I wish it would.
I do think though that's another issue area where baseball, yet again, like with everything else, gets it wrong, in the sense that, like, today, like, people cared. Like, people want to talk. We on the midday show today tried to start with a Sixers Harden topic or whatever, and people only wanted to talk about the Hall of Fame. Like, it was the biggest topic here in Philly for people who listen to WIP, at least. Like, people cared. And, like, baseball had that opportunity and has this opportunity to make this thing matter, to make this something that people care about, move forward. And, yes, people are talking about it, but they're talking about it in the wrong way.
Well, I know, but I honestly think they're happy people are talking about, not the labor stuff, and they're still talking about the Hall of Fame stuff.
That you're right about that.
They've dominated headlines all day, and great. It's such a minor win for a bigger problem, and I'm starting to buy into this more and more, and I kind of came up with it yesterday, like. Guys should be on the ballot one time. It should be one time. And if the guy's a Hall of Famer...
I love this so much, Jack.
Guy's a Hall of Famer, he's not. And if it's not, then it can go to a veterans committee or whatever. And that can be 5 years down the road, 10, like, whatever you want to make it. But, like, one time on the ballot. Like, it always bothers me how... Like, people have to be...
Oh, Scott Rowland didn't get in this year, but in 3 years, he's going to get in. Right, then, like, he'll be a Hall of Famer. Like, what?
I know. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, Big Papi is a first... I always thought he was the first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, I just did. He has huge postseason moments. Probably the best DH of all time. That's a no...
140 home runs.
It's a no freaking brainer. But, like, I think A-Rod's a Hall of Famer. And, I think all these guys are Hall of Famers. And... Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame. People are making cases for all these players. It's like, yeah, they're fine, but, like, it's Barry freaking Bonds, A-Rod, Manny Ramirez, Roger Clemens, all timers. That's what's so frustrating for me. All timers. Like, over these guys that are in the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, again, the best player I ever saw in my life. You know, that's it. And one of the three best pitchers I ever saw in my life. Like, what's the point of this? What's the point? Like, when I bring Zoe to the Hall of Fame someday, which now I probably won't. But, like, if I were to bring Zoe to the Hall of Fame someday, and I'll
you gotta still go. Like, Cooperstown's awesome.
Yeah, it was until they ruined it. All the, you know, tell her the story. Oh, I saw this player was great. Oh, but, you know, the best guy I saw is in here.
Do you think that Zoe's going to be breaking down, like, their war by that point? Like, hey, daddy, his B war was actually lower than this player.
Like, yeah, she is. She is.
Do you think Zoe's...
If she's not, I've failed as a parent.
Do you think Zoe's more eye test or analytics?
Oh, right now, eye test.
Yeah?
She's an eye test gal. Yeah, she's got a good eye for it, you know?
I'm a big fan of the eye test.
We know.
You ready for an out of nowhere take?
I love an out of nowhere take. Please.
I think using stats in sports arguments are the single laziest thing you can do.
Wow.
Like, it is.
That is a capital T take.
It's just so lazy. Like what really started this train rolling in my head was like having to see the chart of Josh Allen versus Jalen Hurts.
Can we just take, we've
gone too far. Like, we've just, I like stats. I like it, but we've gone too far. If we're using that to compare the two, and like, it makes like sports arguments so not interesting. Like, just go back to the eyes. The eyes are always right. How's that for an analytic?
That is a friggin' take.
It's just
right
lazy.
There.
It's lazy. It takes no skill to look up Baseball Reference or look up any of these sites and tell me what a guy did. There's nothing. Anyone can do that. And believe me, anyone can watch sports as well. But like, it's so stupid. It's not interesting. It doesn't show you know anything. It's pure laziness.
Yeah, and also, like, for the most part, these stats lack context. Like, it's just our buddy Elliot likes to throw the Jonathan Gannon defense rankings at us. It's like, oh, he's got the eighth best defense in terms of points per. It's like, I don't care if he's in quarterbacks. It's like, all you need context with this stuff. Stats alone, like when you just fire off stats, like, I'm with you, it means nothing. And we look with our eyes and we make our decisions. I mean, that's just the way it works, Jack.
I know. It's tough. So yeah, that's my
So you will never be throwing out, like, you know, WOBA or OPS Plus or
never.
Anything, you know?
Never.
Because I don't think I've ever heard you use those before on this pod. So
only when we're talking about the peak of J Roll's career, where he's a 95 OPS plus.
Yeah, 9.4% felt right. That felt like the right number for Jimmy on the ball.
I I like stats. I just wish that it would back up what the eyes tell you more than like trying to fool yourself into thinking something that's not true.
Yeah, and also, again, like they cannot be the deciding factor in any argument, I think is the real thing you're saying. It's like arguments are not solely based on stats.
Correct, Elliot.
All right, you got anything else on the Hall of Fame, or can we talk about some actual bona fide real deal good news in Philadelphia?
Let's get to some real deal good news.
See you, Matt Klentak. Bye. Don't miss ya. See, and I know you're gonna be like, well, he's going to the Brewers, so probably gonna be good now. Is King Klentak back in Milwaukee?
Way to read my mind, kid. I have
I know
this.
I know you too well. As I was saying it, I was like, I actually know what Jack's going to say back to me right now. So here we go.
I think he's going to be good in Milwaukee. Like,
I love this favorite moment of the pod. That was phenomenal.
I think everyone who was a part of the under McPhail, like, everyone has gone elsewhere and gotten better. I mean, seriously, everyone who was,
he
like,
just infected everyone, and it was like, you know,
and like, it's not like Matt Klentak's gonna be running the team. He clearly can't do that, but I think he's gonna provide some value, and I can just see an article 3 years from now saying, like, Matt Klentak learned from his time with the
Brewer's
Phillies.
Brewer's secret weapon. The title of the article is Brewer's Secret Weapon, and it's an article about how Matt Klentak behind the scenes just crushing with valuations and analysis.
Yeah, well, Matt Klentak had to learn his lessons in Philadelphia, but he's ready to be a GM again or something. Like, it's all Ben Harris's fault, and it's just like, you know, why does it have to be the Brewers? Like, if it was almost any other team, I'd be like, oh, like, he's clearly gonna fail. But it's like the Brewers are definitely smart, and I think to make up for literally screwing up the should have been easiest rebuild in baseball history. They have sent us Corbin Burns. I think that's a fair trade. We get Corbin Burns for you ruining what should have been a golden era of Phil's baseball.
Yeah, do it.
Thank you.
Make the deal. Yeah, I think that is a truly fair trade. Honestly, I think we're still losing out.
Yeah.
5 years of my life, Jack. All right? Five years.
I know. Believe me. It wouldn't be enough.
Like, set it up, you know. Yeah.
It wouldn't even be enough for the pain that they have caused this fan base in like, look, again, they were handed an empty plate. They had no money on the books. They had three top 10 draft picks, and then here we are. So yes, Corbin Burnes and David Stearns. That's the trade.
Dave, come work under Dave. No biggie. Just come on over.
We'll right.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave and Dave. I like that. I can go with the Dave and Dave.
Right.
I think that's a winning formula. Yeah. Look, I'm not nearly as worried about Matt Kleintag being good with the Brewers as you are.
Remember this podcast 3 years from now.
I know. Sign Zach Wheeler. That was good. That was a good one.
Awesome. He's a real genius.
Zach Wheeler signing. Yeah.
Well, Zach Wheeler.
You got to hit him one, right?
I still think the biggest surprise of my entire Phillies fandom is Zach Wheeler crediting the Phillies analytics staff for why he wanted to sign here. Zach, are you sure?
The plant? Is it your favorite type of plant? Did you water it and fertilize it?
Like, what are you doing? Really? That's the Phil's analytics staff who hasn't, like, unearthed one interesting player in their entire, you know, existence?
What a disaster. Anyway, I think Kleintag sucks out there, and I'm ecstatic he's going. I will not miss him for a second.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of Matt Kleintag.
Wow.
Never
That's
will
a
be
bold
a
take,
as
man.
Long as I know. Some people might not like to hear it. Not a fan of Matt Kleintag.
Is that the
right?
Is that the title?
I've never said one good word about him. You will not find any audio of me saying one good word about Matt Kleintag.
Is the title of this podcast, James is not a big fan of Matt Kleintag?
Yeah, I think it is.
Wow. Well, listen, people come here for takes, man. And that's a scorcher.
That's a spicy one. I mean, not as good as your analytics are dumb take from before. Stats are dumb take from
no,
before.
No, stats are lazy.
It's good.
Thank you. This
is the right forum for that take. One other guy leaving. You're this is a tough one for you. You all right that Franny's gone?
I'm really not. Like I'm gonna.
I know you're a mess about this.
I'm gonna miss my buddy. You don't produce Phillies games because you are I don't know. You're incompetent. Maybe you're not very good at your job.
Sure.
So
I think that's the best reason for it. Yes.
Well, one of us was not, you know, born on third base in this job. Some of us had to work at it. And
oh, yeah, okay. So yes, you're right. I was not born on third base. Some of us had to work at it. Yeah. So you don't know what that's like. So yes, that's true. You're right.
Yeah.
Well said. Yeah.
Some of us had to grind our way to the top. But
yeah, some of us had years working weekends and holidays. Some of us just waltzed in there and worked it out. Yep, you're right. Good point. That's a really good point.
Thank you. I've been staying on that one for a while.
It's a really good one. Thanks, buddy.
But yeah, so like talking down the line to Franzen and him giving us over-unders before the game and, you know, just generally being a delight and being a guy that could actually talk smart baseball, you know, like, you know, we had to listen to like Smoltz on the national broadcast, like just crap all over the sport. It was like so nice and refreshing to hear a guy that like didn't do that. So, Washington's getting a good one. You know, we took Bryce from them. They took Franzen. It seems like a pretty fair trade-off.
No offense, Kevin. I will make that trade again. Many
people are saying that Franzen is the worth of the 2020s. So
look at that.
Well, I'm curious to see if Franny like maybe drops like, I hope they never win a World Series again. Or, you know, whatever worth did. I'm curious to see if Franzen does that as well. But yeah, it's disappointing. Just when I feel like I had finally got him to a point where he's a Philly guy, you know, for him to kind of leave and now become like a DC guy, He's not a DC guy. I know.
I don't think there is DC guys. It's like a transitory thing. It's like you're a right. politician or you're not.
It's like, oh, let me go sit in traffic and all that.
Yeah, sweet. Let me go look at the Washington Monument. Cool.
Oh, awesome. But yes, it's a loss. So, good luck to Franny. And they're getting a good one. I'm glad he's doing TV. That'll be fun. Except, I mean, their broadcaster call is just like I watch so many Schwarber highlights. I watch so many Harper highlights, and I have heard the phrase like "see you later" like 400 times.
No.
Yes, no.
Oh, no.
It's a yeah. See you later.
Oh, so I was literally just about to say like I'm gonna miss him, but I'm really happy for Kevin Franz, and like what a awesome opportunity he's getting to do TV. Like he was only part time here, even, you know, with LA doing games and all that. So like a real big jump for him. But after that, I'm gonna have to say I'm sorry, Kevin. I mean, this sucks. Sucks. That's tough, man. That's tough.
See, and that?
Oh my god, like 100 times a year? Are you kidding me? 150? What is
probably
that?
Mean more than that. Well, especially.
Yeah, more.
Especially because that team like stinks, and he has to willfully watch that bullpen for. I mean, he goes from the Phillies bullpen, which was just a train wreck the last couple of years, to that bullpen, which made the Phillies look like the 08 Phils.
That might be a little bit of a stretch.
I know.
I mean, it was a bad bullpen.
Was there anything? Yeah, but was there anything as fun as coming back against the Nationals last year? It was like every time the Phillies.
Oh, it was great, but you know the counter to that was all the teams coming back against us. Was the counter
every time they would go down by like two or three runs against the Nationals, I would get excited. I was like, oh, here we go. So yeah,
have fun with that
down there, Franny.
Yeah, good luck, Kev. No, we love you. Maybe we'll have Kevin back when they play the Nationals. Probably not.
No, he's too big time now.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we don't want him.
Right.
Point, you know? Right. Yeah. I mean, he left us. It's okay. Left Jack. I'm fine. Jack's not fine. No. We'll get through it, though. I got you, bud.
I mean, seriously, can this baseball offseason get any worse? If they don't sign Schwarber, you're finding a new podcast host. Go
again. Back to the point, like you were looking at quarterback prospects.
I know,
like that is like you have sunk to the lowest level since I've known you. Like this has never happened. You are, it's tough.
Do you want my quarterback prospect? You want my quarterback prospect takes real quick?
Not really, but give them to me.
The only quarterback I'm interested in than the Eagles pursuing in this draft is Carson Strong. Like, I think he's got a hose. He doesn't move very well, but he reminds me of Brady. And
so you start starting quarterback takes and then throw Brady out as your first count. That's wrong.
Yeah.
That is a boss move by
yeah. Well, I'm just getting out early on that one. I'm waiting for that one to be put out in the draft sphere.
That was really good, man.
And then
really good.
I would probably take the kid from Fresno State in next year's draft. He's like He's got one of those.
That's the thing. Like, you know, let's not get an Eagles talk, but I think next year's draft looks good. Like, maybe like move your assets forward and get like Stroud or Young or one of those guys.
Well, anyone but the Spencer Rattler's things. But yeah, those.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't even keep his job at Oklahoma. What are we doing here? This is what is happening right now.
Yep.
What is happening?
This is what people came for.
Jack, did you know that the difference between Barry Bonds' career war and David Ortiz's career war is Alex Rodriguez's career war?
Did you know?
That's how much better Barry Bonds was than David Ortiz. That's how much better, Jack.
Did you know that David Ortiz's career OBP was .384? And if you turned all of Barry Bonds' 700 some home runs into outs, his career OBP would be higher than .384?
You know why? How I knew that, and that's bringing it full circle. Kevin Franzen texted me that today. How about that?
Because Kevin Franzen saw it on Twitter this morning.
Probably he was listening to our show and he texted it to me. I was like, "Come on, that's a great one."
The guy was insane. Again, we're never gonna see what he did from like 2001 to 2004.
Ever again.
I don't think you'll, if you get this reference, I'll be very proud of you. I don't think you will. But could they at least put John Dowd in the Hall of Fame in place of Barry Bonds?
John Dowd.
See, you don't get it.
It sounds familiar though. What is it?
John Dowd was the player they created for like MVP baseball 04 or 05.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was like this 42-year-old guy that was like the best player in the league.
I remember that they did that. I didn't know his name was John Dowd, but I remember that that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's good work.
If they could at least put John Dowd in.
They should do that. That would be a really funny move. They never would.
No, they would never do that.
Too serious, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Franny, we love you. We'll miss you. Maybe we'll have you back on. I feel like we've gone way too far into this already to not talk about the fact that you did a top five for this podcast because you are completely sick and mentally unable to not do a top five for everything that you do. You're obsessed, Jack. I'm a little worried.
All I do is top fives. All I think about is top fives.
No, you're like, you live life in top fives. It's like you know, like a Neo sees the numbers moving by, like, you know, whatever, the beautiful mind sees, like, you know, whatever, every sees the world. You see the world in top fives everywhere you look.
Yeah, and my problem is so for those who don't know, I do it every day at 5 o'clock on Marks and Reese here on the afternoon show on WIP. I do a top five at five where I rank random stuff, whatever I'm feeling that day. It's usually dumb stuff because I like arguing about dumb things. It's like one of my favorite things on earth. But, and the biggest problem, James, is that sometimes I'll wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And the reason why I can't fall back asleep is because I'm thinking of a top five at five.
Wow.
I know. It's really comfortable.
Deep, buddy.
So I figured I'd bring it to this podcast because, again, there's no baseball going on. And I like talking about baseball. And I like talking about the Phillies. And in a Matt Gelb piece this morning, he brought out some old school names from the last, like, decade-ish that we watched and we've suffered through because this last decade of Phil's baseball has just been dreadful. So, James, I have ranked here today the top five bad Phillies that I believed in.
I love it. I love it. Is there an Altair on the list? sorry, go ahead. I'm not gonna
don't do this. Let me get to the list. Okay, don't do this. Don't be that guy. Number five is Justin DeFreitas. Loved Justin DeFreitas.
I did too, actually. I thought he did stuff.
He should have been nasty. Like when you're talking about spin rate before spin rate. It was DeFreitas. I mean, it was
the original spin.
It was power fastball. It was a good curveball. Just could never figure it out. But I always believed in him. He was like, if we were doing this podcast in 2014, I would have been talking about Justin DeFreitas.
I love it. That's a fantastic name. I'm just pulling up his reference page.
Mm.
My man spent a lot of time in the minor leagues. My man does not have a lot. We look through the reference page, it's like little bit of Phillies, it's a lot of Lehigh and Redding and Clearwater and Lehigh and Redding and Tacoma and Round Rock and Harrisburg and Arkansas. Anyway, DeFreitas.
Loved
it. That would didn't work out.
Number four. So this guy pitched against the Phillies in 2008 and 2009. And when the Phillies signed him, I was like, oh, perfect bounce back candidate. Chad Billingsley.
Oh, I loved Billingsley.
I was so happy when they signed
him. I owned him in fantasy. Like, I was all in him. Now, to be fair, when they signed him, I thought he was cooked because of fantasy, because I had owned him and he like kept getting hurt and couldn't stay on the field and all that stuff. So, like, I was not expecting anything from Chad Billingsley when he was a Philly. It's pretty sad that you were, but I did like Chad Billingsley.
Well, I remember thinking if he can just stay healthy.
Yes, that's the story of Chad Billingsley.
Number three is a guy who at one point, and again, never gets talked about, but at one point was like by far the best setup guy in baseball, and that's Mike Adams. I was so in on the Mike Adams signing. I was like, oh, awesome. We have a setup guy for the next like 4 years that's going to be the best in the sport. And he was so... he was so bad here. Like, it just never lived up to the hype. I loved Mike Adams. I never have anything mean to say about Mike Adams, except that I believed in him wholeheartedly, and he was an utter disaster here.
I didn't remember Mike Adams was a Philly.
Really? Yes. Do you remember him as a Padre?
I remember Mike Adams. And I remember, now that you say it, I remember that he was a Philly. But, like, I totally blocked out of my memory that Mike Adams was here for a couple years. Totally blocked out.
I'm so sorry that you could possibly forget the great Mike Adams era.
Like, I know. Somehow. It was tough.
I'm going to look
like
up
that, I mean, those are the worst years. Like the,
oh,
the middle,
14, 15.
Like 14.
The AJ Burnett.
Like, oh, God. Those were such awful years to follow this.
Really was.
So bad.
Man, why can't I find? Of course, this baseball reference is like impossible to find. Whatever. Anyway, I love Mike Adams. I'm sorry that you forgot about him. Number two. Now, early listeners to this podcast will remember this, but for those who don't remember, number two is Mr. Aaron Altair.
There it is.
I believe one member of this podcast said was the next Jason Wirth. Just not good. Like, could not read a curveball. But.
He flashed.
He did. He like, did.
Unlike some of these others, like, I don't know, Justin DeFreitas, I don't think you were the only one on Aaron Altair Island. Now, you were the loudest one on Aaron Altair Island, but I don't think you were the only one.
Well, and there was just nothing more sad than the Nick Williams or Aaron Altair debates.
Buddy.
Just a real, real sad era.
It was a tough time.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah,
it really was. Yeah. But he
I'm
did have
to see who number one is, because Altair would have been my number one for you.
People do forget though that Aaron Altair hit a grand slam off of Clayton Kershaw. So
sure do, buddy.
That's important. Now, number one,
do people remember more, that grand slam off Clayton Kershaw or his time in the Korean League when there wasn't baseball during the pandemic and we were all following the Korean League for like a week?
And he was great. And ESPN put on like 3 a.m. thinking people were like so starved for live sports that people would watch it, and like no one
watched.
He was like,
oh no, we don't care.
No, sorry. No one cares. I would rather not watch sports. Now I feel like people listening to this are expecting my number one to be Nick Pivetta, but
well, of course, I knew you wouldn't do that though.
Because
like, there's
he's
no way.
He's actually good,
right?
Yeah,
I knew. See, that's I knew. I'm all over you today. Like this is like I'm right in your head.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I knew. That's why I said who's number one. I assumed Altair would be number one because I knew that even I was actually my initial when I said Aaron Altair, my initial thought was like I'm slightly worried he's going to tell me that Aaron Altair is good and not on the list. But I was like, you can't justify that. So he has to be on the list. Anyway, who's number one?
I would like to point out that Pivetta in the postseason was electric. Number one, I would say was my first Pivetta. And ooh, that would be Ethan Martin.
That's the number one, Ethan Martin.
I loved Ethan Martin. Like,
did
you,
he even make it to the majors?
Yes,
Ethan Martin?
Yes, he did. Okay. And he had if you're talking looking for high spin fastballs, and this is before Rapsodo. That dude had a nasty fastball. I think I actually went back and watched some Ethan Martin highlights the other day. Like, I was justified for liking Ethan Martin. He was good, man. I don't care what
Martin played in the majors in 2013 and 2014. He played in 17 games in his career.
I remember all of them.
Yes, I'm sure you do. Would you like to take a guess? Hold on, let me get over here. Yes. Let's see. What was his career ERA? Your guy, Ethan Martin.
8.4.
No, that's too high. 5.93. So very, 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 very impressive.
But what you're saying is they should have given more chances.
Oh, clearly. I mean, 51 strikeouts and 44 innings.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Man. I was if this podcast was around in 2013, it would have just been Ethan Martin over and over.
43 hits in 44 innings to go along with 29 walks. Less impressive.
Is that bad?
It's a 1.6. That's a 1.63 career whip. So yeah, lots of good. Sounds good.
Well, you can prove that stuff, you know.
I think he would have figured it out. He just needed more time.
Right. Well, listen.
He's still only 32, Jack.
Really?
Yeah.
Bring him back.
Is he still here? Let's see if he's still kicking around in the minor.
There's no way.
He hasn't played professional baseball since 2015. He's just done.
Well, I gave it up.
I mean, he might be like overseas or something, but in terms of baseball reference page, it ends at 2015. Yikes, man.
Should we see if he'll come?
If he'd, had, if he had had the power of Jack Fritz behind him, who knows? I mean, look where Nick Bavetta is, a playoff hero. Just saying.
Should we see if Ethan will come on the podcast?
Sure. Tell him, yeah. I mean, what the hell else does Ethan Martin have going on that he can't come on a podcast where someone's going to tell him that he was their favorite player at one point or another? That would, and has never happened to Ethan Martin. It will never happen to Ethan Martin again. It's a one-time opportunity for him.
Will we mention Ethan Martin again on this podcast?
I hope not, man. I don't know.
Dude, all I'm saying is I'm just thinking back to the summer nights of 2013. I just graduated. I just graduated high school.
Oh, buddy.
I was like my summer of out of college, you know, it's nice weather. I watched some Ethan Martin starts, and I was like, I believe in that guy. And I still believe
it. I really enjoyed the top five. I think this was really fun. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I still believe in you, Ethan. I want you to know that.
Yes, you're the one. You're the one. You were always the one. You're the one the whole time.
That's right.
Amazing.
That's right.
All right. It definitely feels like we're at take back time. It feels so take back time.
Yeah, it does. I think we kind of already have the take.
It's good. I think that's okay.
No, I'll do this. I'll do it this podcast. Whatever.
Yeah, just do it.
The only thing I have in the take bag is that there is a bunch of top 10 prospects list that have come out in the last 2 weeks. Like Baseball Prospectus, I think Fangraphs, I think Baseball America. But they don't really matter until Fritz gives his top 10 Phillies prospects.
Oh, buddy.
So I have them here for your pleasure.
Oh, my God. You have them here now?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course. All right. Now, let me just say this. Is that, like, all right, I took out, like, Veerling, Moniak. Like, I took those guys out because, like, those guys are already major league guys. Like, if you already reached major league, it's hard for me to, like, believe. Like, the prospect thing kind of wears off. Like, I know they're technically still prospects. And, like, I think Fangraphs had Veerling number 5, which is awesome. But it's just like I look for upside, and like I'm taking the major league guys out of that. So that's my qualifier.
I agree with you on this, by the way. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So if you don't hear those names, that's why. Number one is Mick Abel, who I think about a lot. And I think about his first start, and I start getting emotional, and I need him to figure out his command a little bit. But it's still like I think it was one of these draft prospects, maybe prospect or draft sites, Prospect Live, maybe. Like they ranked the high school arms the last 5 years, and Mick Abel had the number 2 fastball and the number 2 slider. And it's like, I just got giddy. So Mick Abel, number 1.
Love it.
Number 2, hopefully up this year. Hopefully Didi is somewhere else, let's say that. And we have Bryson Stott, who, again, simply cannot wait for. Number 3.
Yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah, Stott's your guy.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Number 3 is Johan Rojas, who again, another guy who I cannot wait for his debut at Citizens Bank Park. Also, in doing some Instagram story scouting like per usual, looking like he's starting to develop some lift on his swing, which is very exciting. I do worry about the hit tool, like just, you know, I worry about like a 230 hitter or whatever, but the power's starting to develop. Number 4 is Griff McGarry. I'm probably higher on Griff than almost anyone else in the country, but I don't care. I think that guy's going to be the next Roy Oswalt. I think he is disgusting, and I'm so glad the Phillies drafted him in the 5th round. Number 5 is Number 5 is Andrew Painter, who apparently hit 100 in an instruct, which is very exciting. But I can't like lie and say I was a big Painter guy because I'm not still a ginormous.
And because you put him on your list of the guys you didn't want them to draft on our podcast, so it would be pretty easy for people to dispute that.
Don't lie. We don't lie to high hopes.
That's true.
I had him on my list of don't want them to draft. Will talk myself into him when they draft
him.
Yes,
that is it. You are correct.
Thank you.
That is correct.
Thank you. I just don't want you to lie. I don't want people.
No, that's true. Right. I was painting you into a corner, so I apologize.
Number six is my left fielder in 2023, and that is Ethan Wilson, who is going to hit here forever. And
the better Ethan.
Yes, better than Ethan Martin, hopefully.
better be, pal.
Is Ethan Wilson. Number seven is a guy who I am just praying they turn into a reliever because I think he'd be locked down, and that is Francisco Morales, who has two wipeout pitches that they just need to convert to a reliever and just stop with this whole, you know, the whole starter thing. Number eight is a guy who put up monster power numbers last year, and I can't wait to see what he does this year. Also, are we making a high hopes trip to the Reading Phils versus Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs game on April 3rd or no? No? Well, if there's no baseball, we're there, pal.
Oh, yeah. It's the day before my wife's 40th birthday, so we'll have to see what I got going on. But, yeah.
All right. I'm there.
I'm old.
Jalen Ortiz is the name who, again, like last year's a really positive step forward, and I want to see him continue on the upward trajectory there. Number nine is a guy who fell off a little bit last year or a couple years ago, the prospect rankings, but still like hard not to believe in the talent, and that is Luis Garcia. And number 10 is Logan Ohapi, who when JT's out of here in a couple years is hopefully going to be the catcher. So that's the Jack Fritz top 10 prospect rankings.
I thought it was a very good list, but an outrage that my guy Casey Martin wasn't on there.
Well, he is not. He is not it.
Superstar. Casey Martin.
I don't think so.
I liked him. I watched like 45 seconds of highlights of him when he got drafted. I've never left. I'm all in on Casey Martin.
He wasn't even in my top 20.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks a lot, buddy. All right. Thanks a lot. You got anything else? I got to put my daughter to bed, who is wearing a Casey Martin jersey, which probably isn't worth anything anymore. So thanks.
I have nothing else.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Are we doing the draft thing?
We're going to do it next time.
So we're pushing
Unless
it out
you
another.
Do it now.
No.
The first pick, but let's just do it next week. All I just right. got to hurry up next room, Emily, so I feel like I should move it along. It's like she's usually very chill about it, and you just exit. Hurry up! It's
love
like,
it.
Ooh. Love okay, it. So let's hurry up. We'll do it next time.
No, hold on. I have one more thing I want to talk about.
Oh, great.
No, I'm just kidding. You can go.
I knew you were. Last thing I'll ask you: the next time we do the bud, will baseball be back?
No.
No. That's a crack.
Things will be worse.
So we'll do our all-time Phillies draft, and it'll be fun, or at least we'll start it. I can't wait.
Sure, we'll keep pushing it back.
Are you any final thoughts? Did I ask you final thoughts already?
Is there anything I can do that can take up the next 3 minutes?
This is great, man. Thanks,
so you
buddy.
Can, so
this
you can, good. So Emily can be more mad at you.
Yeah, great.
I don't know.
So no.
Still thinking. I've been really into 80s movies recently.
Cool.
Currently working my way through 80s, 90s movies.
Everyone tweet it for it's your favorite 80s movie. The list of all the 80s movies you should watch. All right. Think about that.
Just don't waste my time with The Breakfast Club. I mean, what an awful movie.
It's okay. I'm not a huge Breakfast Club guy, but it's fine.
I don't think it's even fine.
Watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
All right. Well, just throwing 80s movies out there. Back to the Future?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off is also not as funny as people think.
Have you watched Back to the Future?
No.
Back to the Future.
I should watch Back to the Future.
You should watch it. It's a great movie.
I know. I've heard.
Great stuff.
Right. Yeah, no. All right. Well, I guess I'll let you go now.
But thank you. That's really good stuff. I'm serious, though. Everyone tweet it for it's your favorite 80s movie. Just one. Pick your favorite 80s movie and tweet it for it. And let's see how many of these we can get to watch. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'm always looking for something almost every night.
I know you are. All right. I'm actually really going to go now. He's printing something with you later.